My name is Austin Bailey. I am one of the pastors here at Trinity, and I'm so glad to see all of you here. A few days after Christmas, ours was incredible, kind of a chaotic whirlwind that you like really enjoy. Like it's kind of like 2020, but not really enjoying, right? And so we're just glad you're here. We hope and pray that you see and meet God in this place because he is here and we are his people. One of the things that really happened in our family's life. I don't know if you have these traditions that kind of like are as kids, some of you, like they're traditions that are thrust upon you that you don't really like want to, but you have to like participate in. You don't find much joy in them, but maybe years down the road you will. Like, I don't know if you've any had those, but one of our traditions that our family kind of grew into that we actually really love and actually love to make fun of is this thing that my mom is kind of obsessed with, and they're rocks. Like, I don't know if anybody else is obsessed with rocks, but she's not like the ones like, you know, when you go to the coast and you like grab some, like, not those types of rocks. Like, you're talking about the ones that are like big, right? These are ones that maybe take one or two people to carry, and she loves big rocks. And one of the things that when we were growing up, we had this garden in the back, beautiful garden, really big, but it needed a border. And my mom had decided that these big rocks were going to be the border. And it became this tradition, really, that we would go and find these rocks. Just on here or there, like we would go maybe like Christmas, like when we're driving to my grandparents' house or when we're Thanksgiving or just here to there. And all of a sudden we'd be waiting to hear, we'd be driving and the telltale sign that my mom found one, right? Was she goes, stop, pull over. And my dad driving, you know that, and it's like, oh no, what? And she's like, so either that was code for, I found a rock, stop immediately, turn around and go. And that's the thing though, as we were turning around or stopping, then it became, how big is this? Is this a one person, a two person, a three person, right? Are we gonna fit this in? Are we gonna have to squeeze and put it in the back, right? Like we had a minivan, but sometimes you just had to rearrange things. And I'll just tell you this, when we talk about finding them, they were like on the side of the road or on edges of property where the legality of the finding rocks were not maybe like true. And so like we'd go and we like sneak up, we'd grab them as quickly as we can, and then we'd put them in the car and drive away and talk about the way home. Goes, could you imagine that on a newspaper? Family arrested for stealing rocks off of properties. Like, and they come and show up at our house and they're like, we found them all. All the rocks that we've been looking for in the Dallas-Fort Worth area reside here. But we'd bring them back and we'd place them there in this amazing garden and around, and it would fill my mom's heart with joy. And the reason why it filled my mom's heart with joy is not only that these rocks were beautiful borders that she created, these told a story. Like if you went out with her and she's tending the garden, she would tell you where she found all the rocks. And who was there, how many people took to carry them, and which ones were the backbreakers, right? Like, you know, those ones that were like amazing and majestic, but you paid a physical toll to bring them in. Like these are the things that my mom would pull and bring up, and they told a story. They were so important because they told about where she had gone and where she had been and then where she was going. They told a story. And one of the things that we see about these stones was that they marked her life. And not only did they mark her life, but I think stones and markers are important for us today too. And they were specifically important for the people of Israel as well. Stones marked things for the people of Israel. Stones marked God's interaction with his people in miraculous ways. And so one of the things I'm thinking is if stones are incredible markers, not only for my mother and in our family's life, but also in Israel's, maybe it's something that we should take. Because I think there's some things that we kind of cast off from our families that we actually should keep. And maybe even from Israel that we should kind of put back in our lives. And so let's open our Bibles and let's see what we're talking about today. This comes, the text is Joshua chapter 4. And I encourage you, if you have a Bible in front of you or you have an app, pull it out because this is God's word, not my word. We want to be in it together and not just being presented it. So we want to be in it together. This is Joshua 4 verses 1 through 7. And it says this. When all the people were safely across the river, the Lord said to Joshua, Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them to take 12 stones from where the priests were standing in the middle of the Jordan and pile them up at the place where you are camping tonight. And so Joshua called together the 12 men and told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of where the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes. We will use these stones to build a memorial in the future. Your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a permanent memorial among the people of Israel. See, one of the things that we really need to understand and to pull this together is memorials, stones, help us remember rightly. They help us remember rightly because if, as you know and you kind of follow what Joshua is happening before Joshua and afterwards, you understand this, that a chapter is ending in the people of Israel's life and a chapter is beginning. And God uses the River Jordan to begin and end those stories. Like in a good book, chapters end and new chapters begin. But you also know that the way that this chapter is beginning is directly correlated with how a chapter ends. That in a good book, they don't stand alone. You follow what is ending and then what is beginning. See, what is happening here with the people of Israel is that their story and a part of it is ending. A chapter in their lives ending and one is beginning. The one that is ending is one where the people of Israel are wanderers. They're people who are waiting. There are people who are hopeless and are feeling like the hope is fading. There are people where they don't believe that God is going to finally answer his promise. They're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting. But then, as God, again, he stops the flow of the river, splits it in two, and they walk across dry land, one is now beginning. That they come from a place of desert, and now they're coming to a place flowing of milk and honey. That's flourishing, right? They go from a place where they're homeless, they're wandering, to now they have a home. They're finally home. They don't wander anymore. They have arrived. They are not people who are like, man, is God ever going to answer his promise? Is he ever going to come through and fulfill what he promised? He has now fulfilled his promise. The people have taken the land. They have now fulfilled. They have hope. One story ends and another begins, but they're built upon each other. That the story that has been written in Israel's past is now going to be the one that Jesus answers, or God answers, in this new promised land. Moving from one old story into a new one. And the way that they do that in the text, the way that God is marking for them an old story that has now been finished and a new one begins, as he tells them to gather stones. Like he tells them to gather 12 stones. He sends 12 men from each tribe, one man from each tribe to go into the very center. Like, think about this. These stones, like he said, call them shoulder stones. I call them story stones, right? Because whenever you see things that are majestic, like you don't just go like, huh, that's nice, right? You're like, I need to know the story why. Like, how did these things come to be, right? If you've ever, like, I think of, like, Stonehenge, or when Ashley and I went to Vancouver, like, they have a stone that looks like a man. He's got legs and arms and a head, and it's like, whoa, I got to look up that story. Like, and they take you on guided tours and tell me the story behind that. Like, I think of what would it have been like if an Israelite was telling the next generation or a stranger, like, what had happened and what these stone means, that they look upon, like, this 12 stones built up, and you're like, whoa, that's amazing. I think it goes like, so they're kind of like, wait, that's so beautiful. Tell me that story. Where did you get those? And then as an Israelite, they'd be like, over there. And the person's like, in the river there or on the shore? No, in the river. See, what had happened is that our leader, Joshua, had stood on the other side, and we were all gathered. And we had the Ark of the Covenant. And when that Ark started to move into the water, that the water stopped. It split walls of water, and then we walked through on dry ground. And those stones are from the very center of the dry ground in the Jordan. And that person goes, no way. And a good Israelite goes, Yahweh. Right? No, I mean, but seriously, like, think about it. Like, yes, it is Yahweh. Like, God's presence stood and was fixated in the middle of the Jordan. And that God said, take 12 stones from the very center of my presence. Unearth them from the bedrock, carry them on your shoulders, bring them out, because they are going to tell the story of the way that God has moved in his people. And you will tell that story for generations. You won't tell about these rocks that are so beautiful and how they're different. The rocks will tell a story of how God's presence had moved in ways that they couldn't even dare ask or imagine. And then the people of Israel went and got as close as they could to God's presence without touching it, grabbing rocks and then bringing them out for the rest of the people to see. These rocks tell a story about God's movement in the people of God. It tells a story not only for them to remember, but one for them to share for generations to come. He says, not only these rocks are things that you will remember and you will look back and see what had happened in that very river, but the rest of the world will look at it and ask the question, what are those? What does that mean? But here's the thing. Those are all good. And you might be saying, man, to see rivers parted, to walk across dry ground would be amazing. Yes, I think God that has come and moved in a place. But one of the things that you often overlook, and I think is the most important thing here, and the most important thing for us, because, right, we can understand that stones and monuments tell a story, and that we as people of God should tell a story of God's movement in our life. But I think there's a but in all of our lives. And it comes in verse 3. It really says this, tell the men to take the 12 stones from where the priests were standing in the middle of the Jordan and pile them up in the place where you camp tonight. And then at the end, he says, these stones will stand as a permanent memorial among the people of Israel. You gotta catch it there. One of the things that's super important is that when God tells him to do something, he tells it for a purpose. It's not just like, hey, God kind of gave him a summary or like a quick like Cliff Notes version of what he wants him to do. He specifically tells them for a reason so that they will learn something about who he is. So they take 12 stones, and they're not asked to only just put them together and stack them anywhere, maybe on the shore or maybe 50 yards out or a mile out, like carrying these things. Like, no, he says very clearly, take these stones, pile them up, make a memorial in the very place that you camp tonight. And there they will be a permanent memorial for the people of Israel. Like, here's the thing. That he says it'll be among them. Among them. And one of the most important things that we see here is that God is a God who moves in all of his people. Like, that the stone monument was in the middle of the camp so that everybody had an equal and access to it. That it wasn't closer to Joshua or maybe the priests of Levi or one of the tribes who had been more faithful than the other. No, these stones were built in the middle of the camp and the people of Israel for a reason. And it says that God, who had moved them from one chapter to another, that unearthed these stones to place them in the very center of the campsite, to say that I am a God who moves for my people. that God is one who doesn't just move for just one person. That it wasn't just Joshua, like these stones weren't just near Joshua's tent because Joshua was the leader of Israel. It wasn't just near the tribe of Levi because the tribe of Levi were the priests, were the ones carrying the ark that were closest to the presence of God. No, it wasn't just for one faithful Israelite. It was for all people. Every single one of them had access to a reminder that God had worked in all of their lives, that every single one of them had walked from one story into the next, that none of them were left out of God's movement in their lives. It's such an important piece that we can't forget and we can't remember that God moves not just in one or the most faithful, but God moves in his people. Because he's not a God of partiality. He's not a God that says, if you're good enough, then I will move in your life. He's not a God that says, if you come every Sunday, then I'll move in your life. If you read your Bible every day and pray every day, then I'm going to move in your life. He says, I am faithful even when you are not faithful. How many Israelites walked across not believing that God was faithful enough to answer his promise, and they too walked on dry ground? Here's the, like, what do we walk away with? What do you say here, and what do we walk away with to say, like John said, that we don't walk away the same? Here's the most important thing. In a year in 2020 that we would really like to forget, maybe we need to remember rightly. Maybe we need to remember correctly what God had done, then forget. Because let's be honest, we're forgetful people. Like, we quickly forget so many things of the way God has moved in our lives. We quickly forget. We are so much more like the Israelites than we think. We think we're like, we're not like them. We are so much like them. We would rather go back to Egypt into slavery because maybe there's some comfort there than walk faithfully into the promise that God has that's not going to be easy. Like, let's be honest. Can we be honest? If 2020 was God's promised land, how many of you would be like, I'll take 2019. I'll take 2019. Take me there. Or pick any year that you were like, oh, that was a year. If 2020 was the promised land for you and for us as people of God, how many of us would be like, no, thank you. I'm not walking there. I'll stay on the other side. Have a good time. Bye. Call me later. Text me. Like, I mean, honestly, the thing that we think about is what we often forget. We would rather go back to something comfort that's a lesser story than walk faithfully into the greater story that God has, knowing it's not going to be easy. Because if you know anything about the rest of the story, they enter the promised land, and it's not like, oh my gosh, we built these beautiful houses and had this amazing community, and we had so much milk and honey and food. It was glorious. No, it was hard. Like, that next year, that new story that they're walking to was not easy. It was hard, but it was different. It wasn't the same as what they were over and wandering in the desert. That was hard. But this too is going to be different and hard. But the thing that they remembered is God was faithful there, and he's going to be faithful here. They often forgot it quickly when they entered the promised land, just as they forgot it when they were in the desert. We needed people that remember. And that's why I think it's so important that we unearth stones in our lives and we stack them up in ways that we remember correctly the way that God has worked. Because I'm going to say this. Some of you believe that God did not move in your life or show up in your life in 2020. I know it. I've heard it. They're like, no good thing came from 2020. And that's not the world. That's Christians that I know. That's believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Nothing good came of 2020. But that's the thing. I might feel that way, but what I know, that is not true. Because I know a God who is the same yesterday, today, and the same tomorrow. And that if he was faithful to every Israelite to have and build a memorial that was available for all of them, that spoke the truth that I have moved in all of your lives, the faithful and unfaithful, that I believe in 2020, those unfaithful and faithful, that God moved in their lives. And God's asking you to pause at the end of a chapter, before a new one begins, to go in the middle of the Jordan where God showed up and unearthed some stones in your story. He's asking you to pause, not in the safety of the other side, but in the midst of the Jordan, when you see the rivers in your, or the walls of water in your life. He tells you to go back from the safety, back into the midst of your anguish and your frustration and your just utter loneliness, and say, unearth stones right there. Leave the safety of the promised land that you had walked upon. Now go back. Unearth stones. Take them from the very place where God's presence actually is present, but you can't see. Unearth them and put them and build them up in your life. And not only that, but put them in the midst, amongst a permanent memorial of where you reside. Like, that's the thing that we need to do. I think one of the things you need to do after this, maybe you're online or you're here in person, you need to call whoever controls your schedule and you need to be like, yo, you need to clear my schedule for the rest of the day. Because maybe you need to take a drive to that place where you have met God or where you meet God in the past, and you maybe need to go take some stones from that place. You need to take them back to your house. You need to put them in the center of where you live that you see every day, and you need to sit there, pause, and write where God has shown up in your life. Because God has been faithful to you. He has shown up in ways, and maybe you just didn't see. Maybe you just need to pause for a moment to see what you can't see. Maybe you need to go to that place. Not only alone, but maybe with your family. And together as a family, that you come and you put together this moment and monument of 2020 that reflects the way that God moved in your life, because he was faithful to you, and he is faithful, and he will be faithful to you. And maybe it's not just rocks. Maybe you need to go, and if you need to do like my wife, maybe you need to do some plant therapy. Maybe you need to go to Woodland Gardens, and you need to go buy up whatever they got. And you need to come into the middle of your house, and you need to put this beautiful little garden inside that you will transplant outside, but you're going to put it in the middle, and you're going to tell the story how God has been faithful. Not perennials, annuals that come back every year. So then when people come by your house every year, and those go, oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, that's 2020. And you'll tell that story. Or maybe you're a writer. My friend, at the end of every year, takes his prayer journals and his journals, and he stacks them up. And he reads them and goes through them. And he sees the prayers that he's been praying all year. And he begins to realize the places that God has shown up that he didn't even realize. He didn't even remember that he prayed that prayer and God showed up and answered it. And there's a stack every year of a living memorial of what God has done in his life. We need to remember because we so often forget. God knew his people, Israel, and knew how quickly they forget and how much they whined. God knows us. He knows how much we lament and we whine and we cry and we throw fits. And he's asking us in 2020, as this story is about to end, in 2021, a new story is about to begin. I promise you one thing. 2021 is not going to be easy. It's going to be different. But I know that God is going to be more faithful as he was in 2020. It's our job to remember correctly how that story ended and how God moved in our lives in order to live faithfully into the chapter that he's writing in your life. And I'm not saying this hypothetically, like, give me, like, I'm not saying like, oh yeah, okay, I'll monument. I'm saying, really, go get something that begins to tell the story, because Israel was not supposed to be like, hey, just remember this in your heart. No, they built it so that every generation, it says at the end, so that when people ask, what does that mean? You can tell your children the story. They need to see something in order to tell the story of God's faithfulness to us. We need to remember correctly. We need to remember rightly of what God has done to you, to me, to his people, that he is faithful yesterday, he is faithful today, and he will be faithful tomorrow. Let's pray. God, I just want to stop want you to speak more. And God, I want to take this moment. I want us to do some business with you. Maybe begin to process the story that is ending and the story that's beginning. God, my prayer is that for us who think you haven't shown up this year, we'll pause to remind ourselves not who we think you are, but who you actually are and who you've always been. That you move in your people's lives because you love them, not because they deserve it. That you sent your son as a child, not because we had deserved it or we had built up enough good relational equity with you that now was the time that your son was going to enter. It was a time when we felt all hope was lost. That you are done with us. And then that baby showed up. He showed up and he changed everything. God, remind us that you have been that same God this year. When we feel like there is no one around, that you don't hear us, that you are as far away from us as possible, that you have given up on us. God, can you whisper in the ears of those that need to hear that? It says, I am here. I am Emmanuel, God, with you. I have promised to never leave nor forsake you, to be with you to the very end of the age. Maybe someone needs to hear God whisper, I love you. I am utterly in love with you. And maybe we need to utter back for the first time this year, I love you too. I have wandered so far, but I'm coming home. God, do what only you can do. Be the miracle worker. Be the promise keeper. Be Emmanuel, God with us.